Hello again, Gooners. Well, it's been a while, and Arsenal still top of the league, so we're looking good, isn't it? The way this season is panning out. Even got the theme music playing. It's been a while since that played. I'm not quite sure why. Don't blame me, blame Podbean. So no wonder I don't get many listeners on this particular channel, if I can call it that. Right, the drum beat's going. Should I stop it? I'm not quite ready, but yeah, let's say stop it there. Right, there we go. Not very cleanly done. But talking of cleanly done, dispatching Liverpool, that was quite a result for Arsenal, and I didn't really put anything up on the website on that. I think what came out of that game is Tomiyasu and his performance at left back, the way he snuffed Mo Salah out of the game. I think that went well beyond expectations for everybody. So to beat Liverpool was obviously, I would say, the best result of the season. Even that 1-0 victory, the most recent game, the 1-0 victory against Leeds was also a tough game, arguably tougher than the Liverpool game. No one would have thought that going into it, but obviously Arsenal and Leeds have got a bit of history. 1972 FA Cup final. Anybody remember that out there? Who was in goal? I think it was Jeff Barnett, sadly passed away not so very long ago, and he was in goal. And Alan Clark scored with a header. I seem to remember that Arsenal hit the post in that game. Maybe it was George Armstrong who hit the post. Couldn't swear to it. But yeah, that was quite a dull match. This game at Elland Road was far from dull. Bore no resemblance whatsoever to that FA Cup final at Wembley Stadium. And the good news, of course, was VAR came to the rescue. And the referee had to reverse his decision to send off Gabriel and award a penalty. Bamford, when he came on at half time, he was such a thorn in Arsenal's side. He scored a goal, which was ruled out, luckily. But he kept shoving Gabriel for some reason. He seemed to have, that was his mission, to shove Gabriel and be very physical. And then, of course, when he did get a penalty for Saliba's handball, there is a bit of an argument there, I think, to say that Saliba also got shoved and he was losing his balance, and perhaps that's why he handballed it. Perhaps not, because he didn't seem particularly upset. Well, he was upset, but he didn't seem upset in as much as he didn't think it was any sort of injustice that this penalty was given. Or so it appeared. Saliba's he's got a poker face, really, let's be honest. So it's quite hard to tell what he was thinking. But anyway, then the penalty came, and I couldn't see anything except the rippling of the net, but it didn't happen because Bamford rolled it just past the post. I think, really, on reflection, Ramsdale certainly deserved a clean sheet. He was magnificent in the game against Leeds. I was very impressed with him. Dominated the area. Passing out from the back was generally good. I think he put players under pressure occasionally. Tomiyasu actually made an error when receiving a ball from the back, and that nearly led to a goal. There were lots of occasions that nearly led to a goal, but Ramsdale seemed to be the equal of anything. White, as a right back, I think he needed a bit of help. Sinistra was giving him problems down Leeds' left wing. Saliba had a particularly good first half, I felt, but second half maybe not quite so good. Gabriel was a bit shaky at times, but pretty solid overall. You don't get clean sheets for nothing, do you? Saka was pretty amazing. I think he's tiring in the second half, so needed to be subbed. Odegaard was running the show. Not quite sure why he was taken off by Arteta, but I can't complain about the subs because the result was a brilliant result. Xhaka was pretty quiet. I think after Odegaard went off, he actually started to play a bit better. But he had a quiet first half, Xhaka, and he got the captain's armband again. Partey wasn't at his best, but he still, I wouldn't say dominated midfield, but when Leeds looked dangerous, he often was the man breaking up attacks. Martinelli was scintillating, causing so many problems. on the left wing, getting injured, laying down sometimes to run the clock down. Jesus, I don't think he was at his best. He was heavily marked, just as Saka was. He wasn't at his best. He kept giving Leeds a run for their money. But overall, you've got to be happy with that result. And as I said before, the Liverpool result was, I'm not sure which it was. Leeds away was such a tough game. I can't understand why it was that tough, but it certainly was. There's no mistaking that. So then, the Liverpool game, it sort of, for some reason, I just couldn't get my act together and actually put down some notes on that. So it's quite difficult to remember all the details, but it just felt like a win that was never going to happen. Obviously, the aftermath of it was pretty terrible, because there was some incident. A lot of people said it's not a nothing story, but Gabriel and Henderson were investigated by the FA. I'm not sure what the result of that investigation is. They certainly had an angry confrontation in front of the referee, and so as far as I know, that's still ongoing. The FA haven't really said a lot about it. It was the late penalty, of course, scored by Saka that resulted in victory. It was hard fought, but as I said, was it any more hard fought than Leeds away? It's really hard to say. But the way Arsenal showed no sort of hesitancy in coming straight at Liverpool from the off, Gabriel scoring in the first minute and Saka getting a goal just before half time to put Arsenal ahead again after Nunez pulled one back. Firmino, I sort of had a feeling, so I did promise I'd talk about FPL, and Firmino was one of those players that I wanted to bring in. I think I brought him in one of my draft teams and stuck him in the team, and obviously he got points. Firmino always seems to score against Arsenal. Talking to Liverpool, I brought Saka back in. Obviously, he got snuffed out by Tomiyasu, but he certainly couldn't be snuffed out by Man City and managed a goal. So, bearing in mind this is a blank week with FPL, my advice is, obviously, get rid of the City and Arsenal players in your squad if you're playing FPL. Just temporarily bring them back. What I often do, and this season I'm above average, but in my league, not performing that well, apart from in the draft leagues. What do I do? I often do a double transfer. You lose 4 points, but you can make, big changes to your team. For this last week, I took a bit of a hit, actually. Not a free hit. I'm not suggesting anyone does that, although people in my league have told me I should use the free hit chip just to try and catch up, because I'm quite low in the league. It's all quite tight in our league, but I'm not doing very well, to tell the truth. Somebody said to me, I took a massive risk having all these Newcastle players, but they scored well for me. So I was above average this week. I had Pope in goal, so he got 6 points. Trippier, 6 points. Shah, or Cher. Some people call him Shah, but it's actually Cher, I believe. 8 points. I had Thiago Silva from Chelsea. He got me 7 points. Gallagher was a bit of a write-off with 1 point. I had the two Brighton boys, McAllister and Trossard in midfield, two points each. So that didn't work out well. De Bruyne, only 2 points. Haaland, I had captain. And I did think about having Kane as captain, which would have obviously resulted in an extra 7 points, but I didn't do that. Zaha, only 3 points from him. On the bench, though, I had Mitrovic, who got 7 points, and Ward from Leicester, still cheap at the price, 6 points. And I had Dalot as well from Manchester United. He would have earned me 9 points had I played him. With hindsight, I should have used the bench boost chip, but I didn't. So hindsight's a wonderful thing, especially in this game. So yeah, looking ahead, let me just tell you what I've done in terms of bringing in new players. As I said, I've got this thing where I do double transfers. So yeah, I offloaded the two Man City boys, De Bruyne, and I offloaded also Haaland, bringing in Firmino and Salah. So they're in my team right now. Let's see. Thiago Silva's got only a 75% chance of playing. So he may not make it. So looking ahead to the week ahead. Obviously Arsenal City game's off. So I've stuck with my Newcastle back three, if you will. Pope in goal, Trippier and Cher. They're all playing against Everton at home, so you'd expect them to not exactly wipe the floor at Sir James's Park with Everton, but you would expect them to win, perhaps keep a clean sheet. Manchester United have got Tottenham at Old Trafford. So I've drafted in Dalot, got quite a few points last week. Obviously, Spurs are pretty tough opposition. I've also got Kane playing. I put him in the team. I've gone with a front three, bringing back Mitrovic. Fulham are playing Aston Villa. So you'd expect them to win that. Mitrovic, I'd expect to score. Firmino, he's my vice-captain. Liverpool playing West Ham at Anfield. And I've gone with Salah as captain this time because I feel now that he scored against Manchester City, he's going to feel on fire, you'd like to think. Zaha's still in my team, even though he's not getting me many points. He's Crystal Palace team are taking on Wolves at Selhurst Park. Again, I expect a Palace win, not too many goals, perhaps. And I've kept faith with the Brighton pair, McAllister and Trossard, because they've got Nottingham Forest at home. You'd really expect them to beat Forest, perhaps quite convincingly. I've left Ward on the bench, even though Leicester have got Leeds. Well, I say even though, bearing in mind how well Leeds played against Arsenal, it's quite hard to see how Leicester are actually going to overcome Leeds. If Leeds play the way they did against Arsenal, I see a Leeds win there. Anyway, moving back to the stuff I haven't covered previously on this podcast, because it has been a while. The Arsenal-Spurs game, of course. I'll just quickly go through some of that. But Arsenal-Spurs, it's just been great win after great win. Obviously, can't go on and on like this. There's signs that it might come to an end. There were signs at Leeds. I don't want to put a dampener on it, but it was so hard fought that game, and Arsenal did ride their luck at times, but they didn't do that against Liverpool, and they didn't do it. Certainly didn't do it against Spurs. Even though, again, there were one or two shaky moments. It's the team spirit. I think Arteta's gone on record saying it's the best he's ever come across. I think that was in response to what Obo was saying that Arteta can't manage big superstars, but perhaps that's not the way forward anyway. You kind of feel that the team spirit is better without Obo. As much as I liked Obo as a person, even though I never met him, and then certainly as a footballer and a finisher, I was disappointed when he left and disappointed that things didn't work out better for him at Arsenal. But he goes with many of our blessings, no doubt, even though now he's at Chelsea. So probably a lot of fans feel differently about him. Me personally hasn't really changed because I appreciate what he did for Arsenal when he was still at the club. Anyway, yeah, looking at the Spurs game, Ramsdale again, another excellent save, but he couldn't keep a clean sheet. Unfortunately, there was White excellent, Saliba excellent, Gabriel. I keep saying he's shaky at times. That was another example of it. Zinchenko, he actually made a mistake. He's been injured, obviously, a lot since then, and he'd sort of come back and perhaps he wasn't quite ready. It was a defensive header. It was one of the worst I've ever seen, but aside from that, it was almost perfect, as usual. Saka, he was heavily marked by Spurs. Three players on him at all times. Odegaard wasn't really at his best. You've got to wonder about injuries. Are these players playing with injections, the ones who are a bit shaky at times? Although, as I mentioned before, Odegaard was brilliant in the last game. Xhaka scored. And this was, going back to FPL. I'm one of those few people that signed Xhaka because I thought, this guy's, he's playing so far up the park. So this is for the FPL addicts. You've got to look at Xhaka as a real prospect for your team because he only cost me, I think, 5 million. And yet he's just, he's supplied assists and he's also getting goals. And yeah, you can see that he represents good value for money. And if you want to get prices for footballers on FPL, the one I would choose is Football Fallout. They've got all the latest prices. This particular website is the one I use. And I've, even though I've said I haven't really done that well, I have kept an eye on prices, and I tend to buy early. That's not always a good thing. But for example, I brought in Firmino before he went up in prices, now 8.1 million. Dalot, who's still in my team, he's gone up to 4.6 million. Harry Kane, another one in my team, he's gone up to 11.5. So you see what I mean? It does sometimes pay to offload players quickly, because De Bruyne, I offloaded him and now he's gone down to 12.3 million. But I say all of that, and at the same time, I'm struggling with other aspects. For example, I'm struggling with the fact that my team's not doing better in this league that I'm in. Ivan Toney, I keep on wishing I had him, but he's now gone up in price. Trippier, I've got, he's gone up in price. Mason Mount, I've been considering bringing him in, but who should I choose, him or Salah? So I went for Salah instead. Other players that have gone up in price that I'm lucky enough to have. Well, I haven't got Foden and I haven't got Rashford. They've gone up in price recently. Martinelli's gone up. Saka's gone up. Wilfred Zaha's gone up. Guimarães is a player I think I had and he didn't do anything, so I offloaded him. Guess what? He's going up in price. No surprises there. Son of Spurs has gone up in price as well, because after being a bit of a dud for the first half of the season, he's certainly not looking like a dud right now. So yeah, Mitrovic went down in price. I wonder if he'll go up again. And of course, Saliba has gone up in price. That was a while back, October the 13th. So yeah, I think you've got to keep an eye on footballfallout.com. They're pretty good for that. But yeah, just going back to that 3-1 victory against Spurs. As I said, Xhaka scoring, and he was very effective. I don't think he's that involved in the game, but when he does get involved, it seems to be a goal threat every time. He's supplying great passes, and he's playing so much better than I ever thought he possibly could. So all credit to the player and Arteta for that. Martinelli absolutely tore Spurs to shreds. He certainly deserved a goal for that performance. And Jesus, of course, caused endless problems as well. So Spurs really had their work cut out. And very convincing win, 3-1. I think it could have been more, to be honest. I was very impressed with Arsenal in that game. It's one of the best North London derbies I've ever seen. I wish I'd been there in person. It would have been even better, but yeah, we can't have everything. And Partey's goal, wow, that was just insanely good. So it was very, very impressive overall. That move for Partey's goal, it's all coming back to me now. Saka and White down the right hand side. It was just something else. Really was a sublime finish, but a proper team goal. But the only negative, of course, was that a goal was conceded. It was Keystone Kops defending. And I was a bit worried at the time when Kane got an equaliser. We shouldn't laugh, but Emerson Royale getting the red carded was quite amusing for many. But when Martinelli, saw his volley smack off the post, and then Xhaka crossed to Saka. Wow, that was one hell of a moment. So although that wasn't a goal, of course, but yeah, you know, I mean, the way Arsenal started that game was really all credit to them. So yes, Jesus was a handful. Richarlison for Spurs was pretty decent as well. I was thinking because of the goal that was conceded, I thought Gabriel might actually get a goal, but it wasn't to be. And I don't know if I covered this before or not, but I did put some comments about the Brentford game as well. A 3-0 win at Brentford was, again, one hell of a result, particularly when you think about how Arsenal really sort of fell apart at Brentford last season. So this was a milestone too, to come out of that and be as good as they were. And the other interesting thing, Ethan Nwaneri, 15 years old and 180 days. I was quite impressed with his performance, I have to say. What a howitzer from Fabio Vieira. It was, what a goal that was. And there I probably was a detractor of Vieira, because I just thought, this guy's not going to be strong enough to really cut it. But I was so wrong. So I'm happy to be wrong about that. But yeah, it was one hell of a goal. And the interesting thing is, Gabriel posted, you probably know this already, but just in case you don't, he posted on Twitter, nice kickabout with the boys. Obviously, that was a dig at Ivan Tony of Brentford, who had called that game when Brentford won 2-0, as he'd actually called it a nice kickabout. So there you go. So that was all very, very pleasing indeed. But Nwaneri, we haven't really seen much of him since. And the Arsenal fans were greeting him when he came on the pitch by singing "School in the Morning." He's got school in the morning. He didn't have long to impress, but I thought he was unfazed, and he looked pretty tough, actually. I was very impressed with him, even though he didn't have much time to do anything. But yeah, it was just yet another tremendous performance. Saliba scoring with a header. He headed in a Saka corner. And then, of course, Jesus got on the act as well. But it was a great chip from Jesus, but probably the best goal was Vieira's 25-yarder. So given that Brentford went into that game on a decent run of form, I think that was one hell of a result, and especially as Brentford had embarrassed Manchester United not so long before. I think we've got to take a lot of credit for how well Arsenal played. Reyer's not the easiest goalkeeper to score against. So lots and lots of credit to Arsenal. And let's just hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Just going to head out on the drums this time, perhaps. All right, so I'll see you again. Adios, amigos.